I want you to look at the body that you brought with you today. I think that you did bring yours. You've already seen it in the mirror, and we can tell that, by the way, as we look at you, that you've already seen your body in the mirror. I want to begin today by talking about a part of your body that you have never seen, but one I know you have. It's a requirement to attend Moody Church. It's your brain. Donald M. McKay, a specialist in brain research, described the complexity of the brain this way. In order to form a realistic idea of the structural complexity inside your head, imagine that 1 cubic millimeter of your cerebral cortex were magnified to the size of a lecture hall. In this magnified 1 millimeter cube, we might expect then, we would find, something to the order of 100,000 nerve cells. If each of these had 1,000 to 10,000 connections, each connection adjustable in ways that might be functionally important, then within this hole we would have a tangled structure containing up to 1,000 million functionally significant elements. Depicted on the same scale, the nerve fibers running from the brain to other parts of your body would extend for distances up to 1,000 kilometers. But now let's take the arithmetic a step farther. The human cortex, that's your brain, is about 2,000 square centimeters in area and on average about 3 millimeters thick. In order to complete our imaginary model of your brain on the same scale, then we would need something like 600,000 of these lecture halls stacked side by side and three deep. That is the kind of complexity that challenges the scientist as he contemplates your brain ticking peacefully away inside your head as you drift off to sleep in church. That's not the way the sentence ended, but that's the way I ended it. Can you imagine that you have that kind of complexity taking place in your mind at this very moment? It would be almost impossible for any scientist to tell us what's happening just in the communication process. To think that I am forming words and those words are able to communicate, it is a mystery that confounds us. Well, when God gave you the body that you brought with you today, he uses it in the Bible as a metaphor of the mystical body of Christ. I'm not sure if I like that word mystical because many people think that it means that it's somehow unreal. No, it's very real, very, very real and direct. But the body of Jesus Christ in the Bible is likened unto the human body. And you know the passage of Scripture, of course, is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week, our focus was on the first 10 verses. And today, we pick it up at verse 11 and 12, particularly there at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. And what I'd like us to do as we go through this passage of Scripture is to notice three characteristics of the body of Christ that we should celebrate. And let us celebrate them today with great joy and great freedom. What are they? First of all, that we have unity. Unity. Verse 12, even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Paul is saying, first of all, how do we get into the body? He's answering that question, the body of Jesus Christ. We don't get into it by birth. We don't get into it by water baptism. We get into it by what he calls the baptism of the Holy Spirit that makes us members of this very special body, the body of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And the answer is no, it's still a part of the body, even if it doesn't like where it has been placed. First of all, unity. Notice that we are unified because we become members one of another. Paul says, my thumb can't wake up someday and say to itself, you know, I don't like the other four fingers because they have much more sameness and I am different and I am tired of playing this role, I'm leaving. No, it's stuck with the other members of the body. And if you're a member of Jesus Christ, you can walk away from a church, you can walk away even into the world, and you will be severed from the body emotionally and in some sense spiritually, but if you're a true believer, you still belong, but you're going to look very gruesome. I like to tell that story. It's a true story in Canada of a man who was visiting with a medical doctor, and the medical doctor was on call. Some of you doctors know how often that happens. And so the doctor had to leave, and he said, make yourself at home. If you're hungry, just take whatever you like. And so the guest, after the doctor left, opened the fridge to get something to eat, and there he saw a human hand wrapped in a plastic bag. And the story that I heard was that after he saw that, he wasn't hungry anymore. Now, you know, that's odd, isn't it? Why should that be repulsive? After all, what's wrong with the human hand? I'm looking at both of mine, and you can look at yours, and the hand is very beautiful, intricately made by God. Nothing wrong with it. You can easily look at it. But when a hand is severed from the body, that's when it is awful. And I want to tell you today that there is no believer who is more miserable, no believer who is more difficult in his spirit than someone who says, I'm a Christian, but I don't like Christians. I'm not going to associate with Christians. I'm going to leave the church. Now, they still are members of the body, but because they have cut themselves off emotionally and spiritually, they begin to shrivel up and they begin to look pretty terrible. The Apostle Paul says that when we were baptized by the Holy Spirit of God, we became members one of another, and nobody can walk away from the body of Christ. Like it or not, folks, you are stuck with us if you're a believer. Now, this unity means not only that I am a member with somebody else and joined to you, it means, more important, that we are members of Christ. Let's look again at verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, here's the astounding truth that the Apostle Paul shares. Even in verse 12, he says, for as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, we would expect to read, and so is the church. But that's not what he says in the text. He says, so also is Christ. Now, you look into your body, you look at your body, I should say, in a mirror, and you notice that it comes, generally speaking, in two parts. There's the head, and then there's the torso. And Jesus Christ is the head of the body. It is the place, the control center that controls all the different parts of the body. But the same blood, the same life that is in my head is in the rest of the body, because the union is so direct, the union is so complete, that the head and the rest of the body share the very same life. And so it is that we share Christ, partakers of him. What an astounding passage of Scripture. And in verse 13, Paul uses the little word all two times. We are all baptized into one body. He didn't say, now all those of you who are spiritual at Corinth, you were baptized into one body. He didn't say, now all those of you who speak in tongues at Corinth, you were baptized into one body. He said, for by one body, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into the same body. And then he said, we were all made to drink of the same Spirit. Now, when you drink water, it goes inside of you. two aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that ought to bless us. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that puts me into Christ. It is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that puts Christ into me. Jesus said, "I in you and you in me." More than 100 times in the Bible, the Apostle Paul uses that little expression, "in Christ." In fact, every time God gives us a command in Scripture, it is based on the fact that we are already in Christ. Remember, everything that we are asked to do is based on what Christ has already done, and we are in Him. "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Our connection with Christ is so direct that Paul says in Ephesians, we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And you can't get rid of bones without destroying the body. That's how integral it is. That's how connected it is, a part of Him. Well, you say, if that's true, why all this misery in the world? Why all these trials? Why all these heartaches? Why all these difficulties? Does He feel what we are going through? Because the body is a unit. You know, many years ago, and it is getting to be many years ago, when I was out on the farm growing up, we were building something, and I took a hammer and I was trying to pound in spikes and see how few hammer blows I could get the spikes in with. Probably not in the best of mood, maybe working out some of my aggression. But I remember hitting my finger. You know, to this day, I know which one it is. It's this one here, because the fingernail is considerably larger than my other fingernails because I got a brand new one. And, you know, when I hit it, we didn't go to the doctor until the next day, but all the other members of my body were so concerned about what happened that they stayed up all night with a finger. They really did. Does Jesus feel your pain? That's what some of you are asking, and the answer is yes. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" My body is feeling the hurt and the torture of believers who are being cast into prison and put to death. I am hurt. Yes, we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Our head is not detached from the body. It is a part of the body. It feels with the body. It shares its life with the body, and it also shares its honor with the body. Ephesians chapter 1, Christ is above all principalities and above all powers. What does it say in Ephesians 2? "And He has raised us up together with Him that we might be seated also at the right hand of God the Father." If the head is in heaven, the body has to be there too, because the head is not severed from the body. He shares His honor with us. He shares His victory with us. Romans chapter 6. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as are members of Christ have been baptized into His body?" Again, a reference to spirit baptism. "Like as Christ was raised from the dead, so we too should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in His resurrection, so we shall be united with Him also in His death and ascension." And that's essentially what Paul is saying. And therefore, we can walk because the head and the body are connected. We are one. We have unity. Write it down. We have unity. Secondly, we also have diversity. We pick up the text in verse 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be?" You imagine the whole body an eye. You take this big eye, you put it on the couch, and all that it can do is watch television. "If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be?" One big ear. Imagine that. I guess you'd have to turn off the TV and turn on the radio. Paul doesn't use this illustration, but it came to my mind. If the whole body were a mouth, what would we be? And you say, well, you know, there have been people for whom that description at least remotely may apply. Paul is saying there is diversity. There is diversity. Do you know what this means in practical terms? Number one, no such thing as inferiority. No such thing as inferiority. Paul goes on to talk about those lesser members that we give no honor to, and he says they are even more necessary. Verse 22, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be necessary, or excuse me, which seem to be weaker are necessary. And then he goes into the description, I should say, of those that are less honorable. And what he's talking about is those parts of our body that we would never display in public. Paul says they are just as important as those that we very gladly display. It is because the body has no such thing as inferiority. You can't say to the toe, I don't need you. You know why there's inferiority in the church? And I would like to take care of that in the next couple of minutes, if I could. I'm going to try, but I'm not so naive as to think that I can accomplish it. But let me tell you why. It's because of the idea, the perverse idea, that church is going to church on Sunday and having a wonderful meeting, and that's church. And when you go to church, you notice that there are certain people who lead the service. There are certain people who sing because they're particularly gifted. And therefore, people say, well, I can't sing like that. I can't read the scripture like that. I can't speak like that. And therefore, there's nothing for me to do. Oh, please get rid of that idea forever. Bury it. What we need to do is to understand that the body of Jesus Christ is to go about the earth healing the brokenhearted. The body of Jesus Christ comes together on Sunday, but it has its ministry on Monday and on Tuesday as we go out into the world and represent Jesus in stores and factories and office buildings and wherever we may find ourselves as his representatives. And that's what we need to understand. And we will never electrify the church again. We will never see the church transforming society unless once again we understand the vision of Jesus going about explaining to people how they can have a relationship with God, explaining forgiveness and reconciliation to God, and going into the highways and the byways, being willing to be identified with the people of the world to lead them to the Savior about whom we sing so beautifully. And that's the responsibility of the church. And you see, that's why we need all the members of the body. Everyone has a function, maybe not in a public meeting, but every member functioning uniquely made by God to fit somewhere in the body. No room for inferiority, but no room for superiority. We come to the same text. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? You know what the problem with the eyes are? They say, well, why can't everybody be an eye just like me? And the mouths, bless them. They say, why can't everybody be a mouth just like me? And so they begin to feel that other members are inferior because everybody should be like me. I cannot tell you the harm that has come to the body of Jesus Christ and the weakness of the body because there are members in the body who will not accept other members who have weaknesses. Particularly, it's difficult to accept those who have weaknesses in the area in which we are strong, you see. And so we say, in effect, why can't he be like me? Well, I think it was Will Rogers who said, I've never yet met a man of whom I wish there were two. So that's one reason why he shouldn't be like you. My dear friend, would you get over that? You see, many of you don't know me very well. You hear me on Sunday, but you don't really know my weaknesses. Not really. Now, those who work with me do, and some of them here are on the pastoral staff sitting right behind me. They know my weaknesses. But the reason they never say anything to anybody about them is because I know their weaknesses too. There are areas in which I am weak, and the members of the pastoral staff, they are strong in those areas. So we work together. We try to minimize our weaknesses. We maximize our strengths because we're helping one another. But there's no room for inferiority. I learned from someone that I have a part of my body that is absolutely essential to my preaching. But it's a part of the body that you have never seen, and I predict you'll never see it. It's my big toe. Because apparently, if you didn't have a big toe, you couldn't maintain your balance. Do you know that your toes are constantly sending these messages to the brain and saying, now you have to tilt a little bit this way, and he leaned this way, so to compensate, you've got to do this. And just to think, all that is happening, and I'm not even aware of it. It's happening quite well, actually, without me being aware of it. So do you realize today that I could not preach like I do if I didn't have a big toe? So since I've learned that, I've always been protecting my toes, and don't you dare step on my toes, because they are a part of my ministry. You see, what God wants us to do is to understand there is diversity. Accept it and enjoy it and delight in the fact that we have some people in this church who are very, very different. There's unity, there's diversity, and thirdly, there is interdependence. Look at it, verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And Paul then goes on to say, it is truer, as I mentioned, that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members that we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and they actually become very, very important. And so he goes on in verse 25, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. And if one of the members suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one of the members is honored, all the members rejoice with it, because there is this interrelatedness within the body of Jesus Christ. Here in Chicago, there used to be a law school, I don't know if it still is in existence, called the Kent Law School. And I'm told that there were two students who met almost on the first day of class, and they became fast friends and graduated together. One was a man without any arms, but he had good eyes, and another was a blind man. And the blind man would carry the books in accordance with the instructions and the guidance with the man who had no arms. And then in the evening when they studied, the man without the arms would read, of course, to the man who was blind, and that's the way they got through law school together. And it's a wonderful story that even though both of them were physically challenged, they made up for their own weaknesses by compensating by someone else coming to the rescue to help them. Now that's what is called interdependence. And I'm here today to try to exalt with all that is within me and to the best of my ability, to exalt those works in the church and those gifts upon which we generally bestow less honor because they are invisible, but God honors them, and what we need to do is to think of creative ways in which to honor them as well. Let's take, for example, the maintenance people here at the church. We usually don't see many of them. Usually you see them when there is some kind of a tragedy that has happened or some kind of a need. But how long could we operate without the maintenance crew here at the church? Not very long. How long could we operate without the nursery workers, without the ushers, without the parking attendants, without the Sunday school teachers, without the social committee that prepares those lovely meals that we have? How long could we operate without these ministries, which are often done in those areas where there is less visibility? Don't you dare tell me that they are less necessary. There's a terrible equation sometimes in our minds. Visibility, important. No visibility, less importance. God says, no, they are all necessary to the working of the body, interdependent one upon another. What is the bottom line? The bottom line is simply this, my friend, today you are a cell in the body. You are a part of the body of Jesus Christ if you have believed in Christ. and you impact the entire body for good or for ill. You impact it. I'm not sure if it's true that a bee flying in Bolivia impacts the air currents in the United States. But I am sure of this, that your spiritual life impacts the Moody Church. No matter how remotely you may be involved in our ministries, no matter how distantly and independently you think you might be, every cell in my body either contributes to what's happening or else becomes a drag on the body and what is happening, because there's no such thing as a cell making it on its own. It receives the life from the body, the sustenance from the body, its interdependence on the body, and if it becomes a parasite, and it lives off the body but doesn't contribute to the body, then it becomes a drag to the body. Now, I don't mean to say, now there's some people who are going through times of hurting. There are some people who, for whatever reason, are unable to serve. I'm not talking about them when I use that word parasites. I think of that man that I met in Florida who so tenderly looked after his wife who had Alzheimer's disease, and how, even though she couldn't serve him, how he served her. And therefore, there are people within the body who give us opportunities to serve, and they are not harming the body, they are benefiting the body. But there are some people who, through their criticism, through their angry spirit, through their independent, unbroken spirit and heart, they become a weight to the body rather than a blessing to the body. And we must bear them, yes, because the body must function. But whether you're a hindrance or a help depends on the kind of cell you are within the body of Jesus Christ. Notice Paul says that we should have the same care for the body. Last part of verse 25. I guess what he means is the same care that our physical bodies have. Have you ever slipped on ice? You slip on ice and your hands will go out and they'll absorb the blow and they won't even think about it. They'll just do it like that. I've slipped on ice and my hands didn't say, well, you know, we don't want to get hit. Let's just go to the back and just let him fall on his face and his chest. My hands have not done that. When I slip, they don't even pray about it. They don't say, now, what shall we do? Let's think about it. Instantly they are there, and they will be willing to absorb the blow. The wrist will be broken, the fingers will be broken, the arm will be smashed, but we've got to do everything to protect the head and the heart, and we'll do it. That's the body of Jesus Christ functioning the way in which God intended it to function. You find somebody who is hurting. Paul says, verse 26, if one of the members suffer, all the members suffer with it. You say, well, what good is that if we just all suffer? The idea is that you suffer in order to help that other member in his or her suffering. And you lighten their load. We can lighten the load of missionaries by writing to them. We can lighten the load of those who are going through grief by calling them on the phone, praying with them, encouraging them, strengthening them. Paul says, strengthen those who have fallen down. And so that's the way we help, and that's the way the body functions. You know anything about your white cells? I've never seen any of my white cells, but I read about the white cells in my body, and you've got some too, though you've not seen them. I'm told by doctors that they ramble through the body as if they're going nowhere, just aimlessly. They remind me of a college student who just can't make up his mind as to what his major should be. And that's the way the white cells are, meandering, no special aim, just here we are. But the minute you have a pin prick, they come from all over and nobody knows who lets them know. You know, they don't have a fax machine and say, everybody get to the hand, we're in trouble. But they come from all over the body. And instantly, there are some of those white cells who immediately take the bacteria and they wrap themselves around the bacteria and then they detonate and they end up dying and they give their life. to keep poison from entering the body. And if you have enough of those happening, we call it pus. And you see, these white cells, of which I think there are, 50 million, whatever, they exist in the body, but the moment they are needed, they are there, willing to lay down their lives. And is not that what the scripture says we should be willing to do for one another, even give our lives for the brethren, as one of our brothers did 2,000 years ago on the cross? That's the responsibility of the church, the body functioning. So the Apostle Paul says, there is unity, the baptism of the Spirit. There is diversity. Oh, let's just celebrate our differences. And when you see a weakness, recognize that you have yours too. You have yours too. And then there's interdependence. And the bottom line is that the way I live, the victories and the defeats in my life, and my use of my gifts or my lack of use of giftedness all impacts the body, and it becomes a part of the total picture. I'd like to remind you that the body is so important to Christ, so important to Him, that it is the body for which He died. And as Paul says, the only way to get into it is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that happens when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, when we receive Him into our lives. Many different things happen. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We drink from one Spirit. The Spirit baptizes us. We become a part of Christ. We receive a new head. We receive a new name, a new identity, and we thankfully are going to spend eternity in a brand new and different place. That's the ministry to which now we have been called as the Moody Church, as part of the total body, as an arm of the body, the great and joyous responsibility of representing Christ, however He's put us together, however He's planted us, for His glory and for His honor. For as the body is not one member but many, so also is Christ. And I say, let it be so. And you join me as we pray. Our Father, we want to thank You today for every single person who has listened to this message. I thank You for every weak part of the body, and there are some, going through trials and hurts and pains and disappointments. I thank You for each part of the body. I thank You that there is no such thing as a member of the body who is simply a nuisance, because You have created each, and each plays a part. Thank You for those who are strong in the body, those who can lift us up, those who can encourage. Thank You for those who are multi-gifted, and then there are those with one gift, or perhaps because of illness, unable to use any gift, but still all a part of us, sharing the same life, headed for the same destination, loving the same Savior. Father, help us to fall in love with Christ, that we might fall in love with each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.